This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nice job, Brian Pezzocco, with the montage there.
Oh, boy, good stuff right there.
I think, really encompassed everything that occurred. Even started with me being immature. I appreciated that. Screw you, Canada. By the way, we also haven't talked about, and Stiz, I don't know if you need a second to get it ready, the Brad Marchand comments about
the Kachuk brothers?
Kachuk popping off or whatever.
I'm kind of confused on that, because were the brothers popping off before the game?
I don't know. That's what I wanted to ask.
And but I haven't read anything. I mean, I haven't heard anything. I mean, I saw them pick fights to start the game
over a week ago,
but Marchand was basically saying that they were talking smack and giving us bulletin board material before the game, which I don't remember them saying anything.
Dan Ball, can you set this up for us?
Yes, they were. Matthew specifically was talking a little bit of smack directed at Brandon Hagel.
Oh, gotcha. I missed that.
This all started with the conversation of how they made a group chat saying they'd get into fights 9 seconds in.
Right.
Hagel responded to that. Then Kachuk responded back and said, basically, like, we don't care about bulletin board material, whole thing. So it was a response to that whole debacle.
And this is what Brad Marchand had to say after the game, very Patriot style talking after you win.
No, I mean, I don't ever think that politics should be in sports. I don't think that's what sports is about. Chuck brothers, I mean, they play their game, they do what they do. Sometimes when you shoot your mouth off in the media, I mean, it bites you. You can do that during the season, but when you're playing best on best, there's it's different.
That's kind of tepid.
You didn't like it?
Well, I could barely hear him first off, because I didn't feel like he was leaned into it all that. It felt like he kind of wanted to rip them, but not really rip
them. Yeah, I agree.
And then they're shooting their mouths off.
It's Brad, are you mad at these guys or not? Because the tonality, it makes me think that you really don't, you're not that angry or upset about
it. It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for.
Well, and also, Brad Marchand likes to push buttons and poke people a little bit. He plays his own style. And I would also say, did it really? I mean, Matthew Kachuk, I guess if you want to say he got hurt and couldn't play, it bit him in the ass. But from a team perspective, it went to overtime and the best player on the planet scored a game-winning goal. It's not like you stomped the Americans. You didn't whoop them like you were the big brother showing them that, yeah, we didn't take that first game seriously. Now we think it's a damn fight and we're going to kill you. No. You could have easily lost. Austin Matthews scores. You go home a loser. Would that have bitten Kachuk in the butt? Or anything like, no.
I don't think they don't see it that way.
Well, and I also like it that it felt like it was a transition back into regular season. I'm a Bruin. You're a Panther. I hate you. You hate me. Let's get back to the real hate.
I like that.
Here.
I can get down with
that. Sort of getting back into that world.
What do you guys, how do you think this tournament affects the NHL at all?
Does it? Absolutely.
In what way?
Well, the Bruins lost McAvoy. The Panthers have lost, I'm guessing Kachuk is not playing Saturday night. Like, some star players will not be on the ice. I also think some players that will be on the ice will probably be dragging a little bit, sort of half-assing it. And I don't even, maybe not even intentionally, just like kind of going to have to get back into it find a way to push themselves through. No, I think there's going to be some
best players on American players on these teams. I would be a little bit worried about them kind of, you're right, even the Canadian players.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I mean everybody.
All of them getting just readjusted to the NHL life.
They will be at less than 100% mentally, emotionally, physically, the whole thing coming out of this. Dan Ball.
Unfortunately, I agree in that. I think the effects of this tournament are going to be almost completely negative in the after effect, because the injuries that you talk about are one, and two, I don't think the NHL is capable of capitalizing on the momentum that they got off of this. I don't think they're going to do much to their product after the fact. I want them to, but I just don't know if they're capable of it.
See,
what would they do? I'd be curious, like, how could they capitalize on it?
Well, the eyeballs, and we'll get into the ratings in a minute, but I do think, and you, maybe Fitzy said it earlier, when you watch these games and you watch multiple games, so there were two of these USA-Canada that you might have watched a couple of the other games, whatever. Yeah. You know a guy like Hellebuck is a great goalie because you read about him. He might play your Bruins once that you watch that game. Mm-hmm. Now you've watched, you know, 6, 9, 12 periods of hockey. I feel like you get a better feel for, or even a Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. Ooh. You know what I mean? You've
watched
them.
I didn't know who this Slavin kid was until he was basically blocking everything in his path last night.
So I think fans now have more root for or against, however wherever your allegiances lie, like a more educated view of more players league-wide.
I raise my hand. I'm one of them.
And that's good.
I watch this tournament. I know more players in the NHL now than I did 2 weeks ago.
So doesn't that create more interest in the game? Because if the Bruins are playing X, you're like, oh, I remember so-and-so from the Four Nations, and maybe you watch a little differently with a little more investment emotionally, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if does it bring the French or the average fan all in now?
Oh, not all in. Okay. No, but like there might just, and I think that's, you're going to dissipate. So whatever, you know, interest was way up here for last Saturday night and then Thursday night. Okay, you're going to lose some right off the bat. But if some of those people are like, you know what? I'm at home on Saturday night in this game. Oh, I'm going to stop on here. They may not stop long, or only 10% stop for very long. But that's 10% you might not have had. But like, it's marginal growth. Yeah. I do think there is the possibility. Stiz, you said you had some numbers for us. What were the eyeball numbers on last night's final?
All right, so now remember on Saturday, when the two teams played in Canada, there was 10.1 million viewers. We talked about that yesterday. Yeah. We set the under, or you guys set the under, at 22 million viewers. Uzal took over. Last night's numbers, 16.1 million viewers across North America.
Does that include streaming? I need 6 more million to get over my 20.
Find me 6 million.
Find me 6 million. Is that highlights on Twitter and socials?
So it's a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, 9.3 million in the U.S., 6.9 in Canada.
Oh, wow. So the percentage of Canadians watching
way worse. Way worse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it's still a good number.
Smaller population.
Right? But it's still a good number. 16 million people.
It is.
I'll take it.
I was hoping that it's a better night for TV Thursday versus Saturday, the hype leading into the game. I would have probably thought it was in the range of 20 like you guys did. 22.
I thought 20 was in play.
It was the most watched non-Olympic hockey game of all time.
There you go.
Okay, so that's good.
That's the best they could ever ask for.
Which, are you kidding me? Reminder, it's essentially the All-Star game. That is essentially what this was. It replaced the All-Star game with a tournament, but like think of this as an All-Star game.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
No, I know, but it is. Like, that's what it replaced on their calendar.
Two countries' All-Star game.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, there were two other countries involved, so there's four.
Sure.
Four nations.
Okay.
I was actually thinking next one should be called More Nations, and they add more to it.
there's no way they can capture what happened this year ever again, I don't think.
Ever again. Why?
Because it's just too hard, logistically. You can only have, you can't have more than four teams in a tournament, right?
Of course you can.
No, you can't.
College football went from 4 to 12.
In the middle of a season, you just stop and have...
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
You think you can play more than four games in the middle of the season?
Well, you don't necessarily have... You could be in... what do they do for the World Cup? The little four-team brackets or whatever, and then you make it out of
groups.
The... Yeah, group.
Yeah.
The group of death and whatever. You could have groups. You don't have to play everybody. You got to make it out of your group and make it to the final or whatever.
Yeah,
make it to the
quarterfinals. Too much to ask these guys. I think it's too much to ask.
Is it? Because, you know, I always say this. rising tide lifts all boats. If they get more money, if there's money involved, and they are still not, you know, we talk about the contracts all the time. Salary caps and contracts are hockey. They're good and they're growing, but they're not anywhere near basketball or football or baseball. If this is a revenue stream and they see this growing and where it's going in the future every other year, Olympics 1 year, four nations the next, six nations, eight nations.
If it equated to more dollars in the players' pockets, then no problem. I don't know if we're going to see more money in players' pockets starting next year or the year after.
Well, no. That's where it takes players with vision. I'll do it for the guy 10 years from now who will get the salary cap that went up 20% or
whatever. These guys are happy to do it just for their country, baby.
Well, they are, and that's where I think they need to continue to do it. But I think everybody enjoyed it. There is certainly a downside, and I do think it's interesting. There's real hockey, real regular season hockey to be played on Saturday. The Bruins will be playing without McAvoy. Yeah. I think the Panthers will be playing without Tkachuk in all likelihood. Those are ramifications that I bet you some of the coaches, GMs, owners are like, wait, why'd we do this? So that my fans don't get to see their star players?
You should have seen this coming. To me, this was an obvious thing that could have happened. I'm not surprised by this happening.
617-779-7937. We see you lining up. We'll get to your phone calls on the Four Nation Final. Were you surprised at the 16 million viewers? Did you think there'd be more? Less? And we'll also get to an expanded version of Odds and Ends. A lot has happened this week. There's a lot of things we need to get to. Little stories that sort of fell through the cracks Tuesday through Friday. We're going to get to those up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Dan Ball and Trent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, this is Drake.
Kid and pray for you. I got girls on real.
Our idea for the anthems, Drake and Kendrick Lamar going back and forth, but obviously NHL had better ideas and it didn't work out that way because the woman who did it stunk. Anyway, WEEI Afternoons. Let's go to the phone lines. We had a call on our discussion about the final last night in the Four Nations. Mike in the car, what are your thoughts on the Four Nations?
I don't really have any thoughts on it, but the other day, I believe it was you or Fitzy, I think, said that McAvoy possibly might have been numbed up. That's why he was flying around like crazy, knocking everybody through the boards. And that you wanted to ask Ted if he had any experience and maybe knew if that's how he got further injured. And I just wondered, I never heard any feedback from that, if you guys had talked to Ted about, you know, the experience with being numbed up and if that could have been what made him, you know, be going crazy, knocking everybody through the boards and, you know, running around like a wild man and then get injured, hurt and hurt more.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Ted?
That's what you wonder. I mean, it's the easiest thing to kind of go down is to, man, you know, if the injury was, you know, was prior to the game Saturday night and he's laying dudes out Saturday night.
Right.
Did he take something? Did he take a shot? And that would just be like, my respect level just went up three more notches. If you're getting shot up for, we can't say that with any certainty. We don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Speculation.
That's all speculation.
Alleged.
That's what especially an AC joint.
Absolutely.
It's such a painful thing and to not have something.
Have you done it? Can you explain, no, like, shot up?
Have
you been shot up?
In my fingers.
Okay. So whatever the pain level was.
Yeah.
And then they shoot you up. Yeah. Does it go, like, is it gone? Do you feel nothing?
You feel a lot. You can go play.
Yeah.
It's enough that the pain isn't so severe that you can't play. It's there, but it's not in a way in which you can't play.
Okay.
And it's got to be certain. It can't be knees, ankle, right? It's got to be, you know, you can still run with a bad shoulder. I mean, I've had my both torn biceps when I've come back from them, big arm braces, but I go out and play because I get... You know, lower extremities, you got to be a little bit more careful. Any upper extremities, guys will take shots for more. And then most guys, I don't know if they do in the NHL, but us football players all took Toradol shots. It's a shot that you take before you even start the game, and it won't cause you to prevent any injuries, obviously. It'll just help if an injury happens, it might kind of dull the pain. That's what the Toradol shot's for.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. John in the car, what were your thoughts on the Four Nations final?
Well, I think either way, I don't think Charlie McAvoy is going to play in the next Four Nations face-off.
Probably not.
If and when they have another one. But I hate to be the wet blanket of, like, let's look and see what the lasting legacy of this is going to be. I mean, next year, they're back to an all-star game as, like, a send-off for the Olympics. And then, like, I can't imagine that they're going to have, like a third year where they're going to take a week-long break for another, like, four nations. No, it's not going to be Four Nations because they pissed off some countries by not having them in there. And, again, it's going to be, like, NHL thing. Like, I mean, it was great. It was awesome. It was really fun. I just don't know how you replicate it. And I think that's when, like, we get in trouble. Like, that's when sports leagues get in trouble. And I think that's where, like, the NBA, if they tried to do this, be like, they're going to fail because it's going to be like, well, how do we replicate something that's already been great? Well, usually that's when we fail is when we try to replicate stuff.
All right, thanks for the call, John.
I do too, John.
And I think we see that in all formats. Like, try to replicate the Eagles. You can't. Yeah. You don't have that roster. Try to replicate the hottest TV show. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't because now you're copying and people aren't as interested because they know you're a knockoff version of the thing you're copying. So they hit a home run. You know, tip your cap to them. Great job. They can keep doing it. Every other year, you got the Olympics and then the World Cup of Hockey, and you just alternate back and forth with the Four Nations, or my idea, if you wanted NHL, More Nations.
I was actually thinking next one should be called More Nations.
I think there should be more to it. There should be. It's More Nations. They need more nations out there.
So, Russia, the Czechs. How many games should you... I mean,
I'm an idea man. I don't have the details.
I mean... You're throwing these ideas out there that make, honestly, no sense.
Of course it makes sense to get Russia and the Czechs involved. You got more teams. You got more money. Maybe you have two arenas.
It's called the Olympics.
Arenas. No. You missed it. It's the More Nations tournament.
Okay. What do you have it in the middle of the season?
Olympics is different. Yeah. Okay. You got a little break in the middle, and you can have your trade deadline. You can even give them a back-end week off, whatever. You figure out the details.
And we're going to give medals, Ted. There'll be a gold, a silver, and a bronze.
No. That would be ridiculous. That would be copying. We're not copying. We're sticking to what we do. We have a big trophy. We give them some money. We have an MVP. And then everybody... Also, we have simple jerseys. The uniforms were nice and simple. Did you notice that?
They look great.
Like, just classic, simple.
Awesome.
Don't overthink it. That's a good... Because a lot of times, all-star game jerseys get weird. Weird colors, weird combos, weird designs. These were simple. I liked that, too. Dan Ball, did you have something you wanted to add on the... schedule for the NHL in the coming years for the All-Star break?
Just wanted to share that the plan right now is 2026 Winter Olympics, and then 2028 they're reviving the World Cup of Hockey, which I think is going to have six teams, but they haven't put out official rules
for
that.
That sounds like more nations.
That is. Two more.
At least two.
Yeah. Okay, so now what we're going to get to here, odds and ends, we do it every Friday. All the stories we didn't get to. I'm going to start, Ted.
Yes.
I know you're very excited. You've been working during the break, workshopping this, getting yourself ready. You got a bunch of stuff you want to talk about.
Not really.
The thing that jumped off, how many guys here like Hooters?
I like Hooters.
Okay. Everybody loves Hooters. I believe that was actually their slogan. Well, not everybody, apparently, because they're on the verge of filing for bankruptcy.
Oh, Twin Peaks is getting into some of that biz.
Well, there's a lot of, actually, I Googled it. There's a lot of analysis online that young men... aren't into this kind of thing anymore. Young men aren't dating. Young men aren't having sex. Young men are just, like, on their phones and playing, and, like, their interests are different, so they're not going to go flirt with a girl at Hooters or anything. It's a different world, Ted.
Boy.
Different world. But I did enjoy So all these tweets were coming out about they may file for bankruptcy. Paige Spurnak, the attractive Golf Network host.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
She retweeted it with four simple words. So the breaking news, Hooters to prepare for bankruptcy, she retweets it with, not on my watch. So apparently she's a fan of Hooters herself and is looking to make sure Hooters does not go bankrupt. Do we even have Hooters in Boston anymore?
There was. I don't know.
The Garden in the old days.
Exactly, on Canal Street.
I don't think it's there anymore.
Do you want me to search Hooters near me on my phone?
Yes, please. I think there's still one in Warwick, Rhode Island.
I'm going to guess Saugus.
Oh, yeah, no, there is one on Route 1. Yes, that one is 100% still there.
Route 1 has everything.
It does.
Every
restaurant that went out of business 20 years ago is still actually in Saugus off of Route 1.
R.I.P. Hilltop, though.
Oh, no more Hilltop?
Oh, that's been gone for years, Teddy.
Oh, my gosh.
But they kept the orange dinosaur over there.
One of my favorite restaurants, you started in the South, but I couldn't believe to find up here, and there was only one, and I think it's still there on Route 1. One of my favorite hamburgers of all time, Fuddruckers.
Oh, Fuddruckers is still around.
That's still there.
Yeah.
Fuddruckers still on Route 1.
They're like out of business everywhere else except for Route 1 in Saugus.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's one probably closer to you, Teddy, North Reading, the Jordan's Furniture, that has the IMAX.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in there, too.
There's a Fuddruckers and a Jordan's Furniture.
Yes.
Mind blown.
Wow, that's he's excited.
I know what Teddy's doing.
I like Jordan's Furniture and I love Fuddruckers. So I mean, you kidding me?
Hashtag ad.
Let's go, baby.
All right, Ted. What do you got for odds and ends?
I just got a couple of ideas. So
yeah, throw them at me.
If anybody's looking for some new TV series to watch, I always like good recommendations. There's so much. It's amazing how much there is out there to watch now.
Okay.
You know, so I was a big mob movie guy, right?
Yep.
But now I kind of like the mob thing's been done 1,000 times. So now I'm into like CIA stuff, right?
Okay.
The agency. Okay. The agency. Has anybody heard about The Agency? It's on Showtime. Michael Fassbender is on it with Richard Gere. It's only first series, first season. It's excellent. It's a good kind of just behind the scenes. I'm a big trade craft. I love how the CIA works.
Yep.
I love all the bomb movies. I recommend that. American Primeval. I don't know.
Great. Awesome.
On Netflix.
And it's only like 6 episodes. You can slam through it. True story.
You talk about, man.
Is it horror?
The last
No, it's
episode?
It's about the Mormons in Utah back in like the 1800s when like the Mormons were trying to control Utah, but so was the government and so was the Indians. It's brutal.
It is brutal. Peter Berg is the director, and I'm a big fan of his stuff. And then one more recommendation, The Lioness. Has anybody heard of The Lioness? Another kind of CIA series, but it's what is it on? I forget where it's on. I'll find it. But Zoe Saldana and Nicole Kidman headline that show. It's 3 seasons worth.
It's on Paramount.
Good Paramount. There you go. Excellent. Lioness. Check that out. So those are my recommendations.
Okay. Have you ever seen Homeland, Ted? If you like CIA stuff?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
I liked Homeland back in the day for sure.
Okay, so we had some, I think, relatively big news. Dan Ball, this might be in your world a little bit. I haven't heard a ton of talk about it, but the disintegrating relationship between Major League Baseball and ESPN, that they've announced that they will go their separate ways at the end of this season, at least in part because Major League Baseball is upset that they're not getting enough studio shows and coverage on ESPN. And I just, in terms of a sport that is scuffling as to what it's going to be, you know, it goes NFL, NBA, and then baseball's next, I think, now, to not be on ESPN, I think this is a curious business decision. Maybe it's just negotiating, posturing, or maybe they end up on more streaming services, and I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No. I hate streaming services.
So when you hear the news about like the NFL and Netflix and stuff,
I hate
like that,
all of it.
Out on that.
Hate
I'm out
all
too,
of it.
Brother. I'm out too. Man.
I would tend to agree with that. But have you watched the MLB on ESPN product in recent years? Sunday Night Baseball, stuff like that?
Not as much. I mean, I have, but not as much.
Okay. I mean, they canceled Baseball Tonight. I actually just saw a video online from Gary Streisky, who used to work for NESN.
Yep.
He's now at ESPN. He did a video on his TikTok of what is now the graveyard of the Baseball Tonight studios. There's crap strewn everywhere. Lights are hanging. It's devastating
wow.
to see, but
That's
it's
awful.
Kind of a good metaphor for what that coverage has been. It's been a brutal watch recently.
So this is interesting. I mean, Major League Baseball obviously has their own network. I don't know how many eyeballs get on that on a daily basis, quite honestly.
It's kind of, it's a subscription-based thing, so right. Some packages have it, some right. don't.
And then you have, they've gone to Friday night Apple games last year.
Yeah, which were better in year two than year one. Year one was rough. I know I'm crapping on every single way to watch baseball, but it's just the product hasn't been great.
And you also have the fact that baseball, I'm guessing, I don't know the details, still has an older demo. So you're going to potentially make it harder for your older demos, because they also have issues on the local level with all these regional sports networks that went belly up.
Oh, yeah. It's like half the league.
They got to figure out an easy way to get their eyeballs to a bunch of 50, 60, and 70-year-old people. Because if they start losing that, I don't know. I think it's maybe ESPN did them dirty and it wasn't working, and maybe it was legitimate. But this is interesting.
But doesn't it also kind of hammer the fact that that baseball truly is a regional sport, where ESPN is, you know, goes out all across the country.
It didn't used to be. I remember, and I was probably, high school, middle school. So we're talking a long time ago, obviously. But everybody watched Baseball Tonight. Everybody wanted to see the home runs of the day. Everybody wanted, you were checking your fantasy teams. You were doing all these things.
Do your kids want, or do they have the same interest you did when you were their age?
No, some do. Some of my son's friends are baseball guys that watch, and I make fun of them. I go, you're an old soul for watching baseball games, but
or a nerd.
Or a nerd. And you can be a nerd too. We don't need to shame.
I fit both
here.
Of those, if we're being honest. I'm both an old soul and a nerd for baseball.
Does this concern you at all? Do you think it's interesting, this whole deterioration of the relationship?
The whole thing concerns me. This is just another in a long line of things about the game of baseball that concern me. And the fact that people in my age group, they don't care. Right. So I would guess Major League Baseball is looking for another network that's going to try to bring in younger viewers, even though, like you said, your prime demographic is 45 and up or whatever you want to call it. I would guess that they don't think that they're getting a fair shake from ESPN, and they'll have a better chance to engage younger viewers. Maybe it is on a Netflix or an Amazon. I'm not sure.
What about TNT? TNT's not next year. They don't have basketball.
Yeah, they have a partial relationship with TBS.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's
the
same,
playoffs
the same
and
umbrella.
Those things.
Same with Fox. Maybe it's more on Fox. I don't know.
Maybe. I also always find it interesting. I clearly am not an economics guy, but so you're off ESPN. Your regional networks are going out of business. People are struggling to watch you digest, and Juan Soto gets $750 million. It's like, how do those two things marry up? How do they connect? It's interesting. Ted, what else you got?
I was just going to talk about.
I thought you wanted to talk about the Yankees. You were very offended. But if you're a Yankee, you can grow a beard now.
And I don't have the in front of me. But what was the statement that went out?
Yeah, they've decided basically that the age-old rule that the Yankees had to cut their hair and shave their faces?
No mas.
No mas! You can grow a beard now. Now, they did have some terminology like a properly manicured or tended Loft. Beard or whatever. But,
I find that fascinating.
I don't like it. I like tradition.
Okay.
I like tradition. It's a thing, and I know it's probably dated and it probably ticked some people off, but guess what? The Yankees have done fine over the years. They've acquired a lot of really good talent. I don't know if or when it prevented them from getting a player. So why change? Be different. You're the damn Yankees, right? You're the damn Yankees. Be the Yankees. But Dan, you had
the
statement.
A little archaic. A little bit.
I know, but I like it.
Yeah. So this went out 8:55 this morning on their social medias. This is directly from Hal Steinbrenner. So right from the top. In recent weeks, I've spoken to a large number of former and current Yankees spanning several eras to elicit their perspectives on our longstanding facial hair and grooming policy, and I appreciate their earnest and varied feedback. These most recent conversations are an extension of ongoing internal dialogue that dates back several years. Ultimately, the final decision rests with me, and after great consideration, we will be amending our expectations to allow our players and uniform personnel to have well-groomed beards. Moving forward, it is the appropriate time to move beyond the familiar comfort of our former policy. And the one question I have is, which highly paid member of the New York Yankees bitched loud enough to get this changed?
It's a good question.
And why was it Gerrit Cole? I'll hang up and let him know.
Also, what's the def? I feel like this is, you know, those homeowners associations where they like measure your grass, and if the grass is too tall, they can find. Like, is somebody going to go around and like put something to your face and it's too thick, it's too long,
like James Harden beard? Like, would they? Can he have a James Harden?
I can't
beard?
Imagine.
But why not?
Well, how about Jaylen Brown? Is his beard okay?
Yeah, so I'm curious.
I mean, do you have to trim the neck and the edges?
How do you police this? I mean, what's a?
That's why I would have just left the damn rule. We've done it forever. But you don't have facial hair.
Why not? Why not have let your players have beards?
100%. Like that was my like, remember when Edelman grew the beard and wouldn't shave it? Like, I was all in on that.
Yeah. I hated it.
Oh
gross.
My god. Like, I was all in on it.
I thought things were gonna jump out of it onto me when I was interviewing him.
I wish they did.
You gotta admit, that is to tell a grown man he can't grow a beard.
That's wild.
Oh, no. You don't tell a grown man he can't grow a beard. You tell a grown man he can't grow a beard and play for the New York Yankees.
Okay.
You want to be a Yankee? Gotcha. You want to put the pinstripes on? You want to end up in Monument Park? Shave your face and cut your hair.
I'm sure.
Go have fun with the Red Sox or the Mets or whatever other team you want.
I'm sure Andy felt the same with the COVID vaccine.
Wait, what? How is that related?
Well, because you're like, oh, well, if you don't want to, we're not being unfair to you. If you don't like it, you just don't have to work here.
That's right. And I had to get the jab.
Keep it across
the
board.
Get the jab, and now I've had a cough for a month. You think that's a coincidence?
You got more than a cough.
You
got more than a cough going on, Andrew.
You know, you think that there's people trying to connect Wemby and his blood clot in his shoulder that ended his season and
saw
COVID? That was on the internet. I mean, everything's on the internet. You can literally find anything.
I didn't know you could get blood clots in your shoulders.
I think you could get a blood clot anywhere that you have blood, right?
Theoretically, yes, but I mean, it's up here.
I'm no doctor.
It's usually something on the lower extremity. I don't know.
Play one on the radio.
Right. A story I don't think we touched on this week that I actually like, and I'm not pandering. People are going to accuse me of pandering. I'm not freaking pandering. I watched a lot of Caitlin Clark last year. I watched a lot of WNBA games. An ownership group led by Donnie Wahlberg and former NBA Rookie of the Year Michael Carter Williams is planning to bid on bringing a WNBA team to Boston. So Boston has not had we had the Connecticut Sun down the street a little bit, but I think that's a good thing. Like, why not? I mean, I'm still dubious of the WNBA in general and their pay structure, and you get people making $70K when they're really like global superstars, and it's a weird world. Huh. But if they're going to keep expanding and they're going to continue to try to get some footing in the sports world.
There's 8 teams now currently?
No. There's more than that, I believe. 12, I think they're up to.
Okay,
they expanded. And maybe they're not all playing yet, but they've announced expansion.
I gotcha.
And obviously, Caitlin Clark and others have brought them to the next level. I even heard a thing yesterday for the first time ever, and I might have been Topps, might have been another, but the WNBA complete set of basketball cards is worth more than the NBA complete set of basketball cards. I think it was $1,200 for the WNBA and $800 for the NBA. There's interest. There's eyeballs. And it's a different game. You know, I equate it a little bit too. I'm a sucker for the College Softball World Series on ESPN during the summer. I watch that. I love that. I'll watch a WNBA game. They play a different game. I know they're not going to dunk. I know they're going to, you know, play differently and do some cutting and passing.
Would you go support the team and go buy tickets and drive to their arena?
Okay, so this is a...
buy the hot dog.
Okay, so that's where...
No. Listen, how much...
That's where he draws the line.
No, how much? Yeah. If you offer me an alternative to go to the Garden at a discounted rate, because you're not the NBA. You can pretend you're not the NBA. You're trying to get a footing. And what's their name and logo? Is it a cool name and logo that I can get behind, that I can get a T-shirt, that I can get a sweatshirt that I love?
I'm sure you can, and I'm all for this stuff, absolutely. Yeah, I love living in cities where there's pro teams.
And more the better.
And the more the better, also, absolutely.
Doesn't it make you seem like an even better city,
absolutely.
A bigger city, like
that.
A bigger deal?
Yes.
And Boston sometimes struggles with that. Like, are they a small city, old school city, whatever? And then the last one is in your world, Ted. I don't know if you saw this, some college football programs are not playing spring games.
Why?
So there's different theories. Some is they don't want to showcase talent, and then the second transfer portal, people could leave, and it's almost like you're giving the competition scouting.
But you don't show your spring film tape to any other schools.
No, but can't they go? They can buy a ticket and go.
You don't open up a lot of those practices for fans.
No, the games.
Just
they're practicing.
The game?
They're canceling the games. They're still practicing.
Oh, that's fine.
But they're not having the spring, you know, the blue-gray, red-white, whatever.
You know what? If it's done in design of keeping kids from transferring to other schools, then I'm all for it.
I believe that, and even going lesser on them, not beating them up, like wear and tear, different things
then
in
I'm
that
all for
world.
It. I'm all for it.
I just think it's interesting. I'm always interested when things that have been done forever
are changed.
And part of you says, well, why do you need the spring game? You know what I mean? Like, I know you've done it forever, but why? Why do you need it?
You like your
what do you get out of it?
Tradition. It's
yeah.
a tradition.
And that, I don't know. We've done it since 1937 or whenever we started. Who started it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Canada.
Probably a good little moneymaker, too.
Bear Bryant. Well, that's the thing. There is money involved. I mean, Colorado, a couple of years ago, they were raving about when it was sold out and how much it changed with Dion and the whole the buzz around the program. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of schools not playing spring football games this spring. So
I'm okay with it. They're playing more regular season games than they had before. So
and they're practicing. And maybe that's part of it with the playoffs. Some of those teams are playing, whatever, 14, 15
games. It's ridiculous what they ask these kids to do, man.
So
I'm all for it.
So that's odds and ends. That's the expanded Friday edition of odds and ends. Nice job, Ted.
Thank you, bud.
Some TV recommendations. Yeah. I don't know if I have all those stream. Do you have every streaming network?
I have a lot of them, but I don't use them all.
Paramount Plus.
I'm paying for them.
Hulu.
I just don't use them all.
Yeah, same. Up next, odds and ends. The real odds and ends that we do on a daily basis. The final segment of WEEI Afternoons. That's next on WEEI Afternoons. I learned this one earlier in the week. This is Rush. Another famous Canadian band who Ted loves.
Love,
I think Boss Man Laird loves them, right? So Rush is big. Are they still a thing?
No. No.
They've slowed.
They're not. Not a thing.
No longer Rush.
They don't tour anymore. No.
Oh, okay. WEEI Afternoons Odds and Ends is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easiest way to get rid of your old car, donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. And Ted had something he really wanted to get in the expanded odds and ends.
I threw it to you, and you were like, say it in the next.
Well, you seemed excited about it, so let's talk about it.
Well, it's just basically just I wanted to highlight a couple of Canadian actresses.
Okay, and those would be?
The fine actresses. One, Rachel McAdams. We all who doesn't
bringing
love?
Bringing her up all week.
Yeah, well, I got to do a side story about her, I can tell you. Off air. I wish I had a side story about Shannon Tweed, though. I didn't realize Shannon Tweed. Very, very, I mean, Shannon Tweed takes us back to our youth. If you guys, if you remember, you boys won't remember, but they used a channel, Cinemax is still around, late night, Friday, Saturday night after 10 o'clock.
Skinemax.
It became Skinemax.
Yep.
And there was some great, great movies. I'm sure you've heard a lot of them that Shannon Tweed is.
What are they?
Dead Sexy, Cold Sweat, Home Desires, Forbidden Sins. I'm sure you've heard of those.
Did any of those have sequels? I bet you they did.
just that we're tipping the cap to Canada today, and so we want to acknowledge.
I want to look her up and see.
She's up there. She's the wife of one Gene Simmons.
Still?
I'm assuming so.
67 years young, Shannon Tweed is. And
big fan of Shannon Tweed.
I didn't know where you were going with the end of that sentence.
Me too.
big fan.
She's 67 years old, born in 1957. On March 10th.
They're still married, too.
Are they?
Yeah, married in 2011, still married, per Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, she was in famous as a Playboy magazine, Miss November, and Playmate of the Year in 1982.
About that.
I was...
When that was a thing.
4 years old, and she was a Playmate. And then 60 films and TV shows... Wow.
It is funny how things have
changed. I didn't know she was Canadian. Are you sure she is? Canadian model and actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if I can get a photo of her now because 67.
Easy.
No, I just want to.
But boys, I'm telling you,
she still looks good.
That's how you, when you were younger, that's when you got your, Friday, Saturday nights after 10 o'clock on Cinemax.
I remember Cinemax.
Or your buddy's dad had the collection somewhere in the attic.
Yep.
In the basement.
Basement, garage.
When they weren't home, you...
Jackpot.
Dude.
Found a box.
Those were the days.
Or sometimes, I mean, I remember you're a kid, you'd be like going down an alley or something, there'd be like a Playboy or penthouse on the ground. You're like, oh my God, we struck gold. It's like the golden ticket from Willy Wonka. But Shannon Tweed, I got to be honest with you, I haven't heard that name
in a minute, huh?
in a while. But and I also didn't know she was Canadian. But we celebrate her. We celebrate the Canadian hockey team. They win. Had this. You left out Pamela Anderson, isn't she also?
Is she? Yeah, she
I
is.
Believe Pam Anderson is also
To me, she's not in the same class as Shannon Tweed. No offense.
What class is she?
She's in her own class.
In?
I'll just say that.
Worst class?
I'm not saying worse. She's just life has been hard on Pam. You know.
She's
yeah,
a legend.
But she's a legend yeah. in her own. I think it was yeah. where you crossed paths with these people in your maturing
in my
journey
okay.
through life
okay.
or whatever you were going
if
through.
If you say so.
At that time. but yeah, never thought we would.
Pam kind of reached the mountaintop. And then came right back down pretty quick.
Didn't yeah, there was a there. Lot that went into
I feel like
that.
Like Shannon's kind of stayed up there a little longer, is all.
Okay. Yeah. Christian Arcand joining us now, the host of the Christian Arcand Show, which was abbreviated last night for the Four Nations final, which was going well and then didn't. All's well doesn't end well necessarily.
I'm curious to hear Christian's
I am too, because you let
this.
Austin Matthews off the hook. I did not.
I did.
I'd like to know where he falls on Austin Matthews and
I gave him a break.
A bit of a bad ending both ends of the ice.
Austin Matthews had a bad game, sure, but I don't understand why Matthew Tkachuk's not catching all kinds of hell today. I do not understand that. Why is he not getting the same level of hate that LeBron James was getting for not playing in the All-Star game?
Well, he
shouldn't
to.
Have been out there. 6 minutes, you can only play six. The only difference between him and LeBron was 6 minutes. Okay, if you can only play 6 minutes, you're kneecapping your team. Someone else could have come on and played.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Connor or Quinn Hughes or somebody else could have been called in. And no, they needed to get the big photo op with all the Tkachuks together and, you know, all that. And I think that's very similar to the complaints people make about the NBA and the NBA All-Star Game. And no one's giving Tkachuk any crap about it today, and that's annoying.
Well, that's because everybody was in love with him from Saturday night.
Great, but the game's over. And what happened? He was out there for 6 minutes. We can't criticize him for that now?
No, we can.
Well, did you?
No, but you were.
Well,
I didn't
this
either.
This is why. Well, he's kid gloves. He didn't even want to question what the hell Matthews was doing when the best player in the world is 20 feet in front of the net wide open. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go help out in the corner over here. Hey, Hellebuck, you'll be fine, right? You got him. You got him. You see him. He's got the puck.
This is also the team.
It was a bad play. I mean,
what was he doing?
I don't know. I think he probably thought there was someone behind him. He was rotating over, but
think
you got to be able to check that guy.
Right.
Come on, out of everybody on the ice.
Leave anybody else open.
This is an interesting take, though, Christian. I haven't heard anybody else come out with that take.
This is why he's the best.
Oh, he
conjures up anger and energy
all day long, and then
I don't think I'm conjuring this. I think people are going out of their way to not conjure it up. That's why.
But don't you think that's weird in Boston? Wouldn't we want to rip Tkachuk?
Exactly. That's why I'm annoyed.
But why aren't we?
I don't know.
Why would I go out of my way? Why would we as a city go out of
I don't know.
Way?
According to you, all hockey players are the best guys in the world, and, you know, they're so great and everything.
I think
so.
They're better than the bulk of the other athletes. No
all
offense,
right.
Ted.
Well, Matthew Tkachuk could have very easily stepped aside and let somebody with, you know, a functioning body go out there and
but
play
what
the
about
whole game.
He wanted to represent his country, strong American,
great.
Gave it the old try, like
and
thought
he
could gut it out.
Yeah, kneecapped
well,
him.
He didn't do it intentionally. He did have that weird final shift where it was like 4 seconds or something.
Yeah.
He got on the ice and then got off the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. So I assume
shouldn't have played.
Lots of ripping of Matthew Tkachuk.
We'll be doing a lot of that. We'll be talking about the Drake May interview on the Chris Long podcast, which I heard you guys playing some stuff from. We got some Celtic stuff to get to, Red Sox, and a lot of hockey as well.
All right. Well, it's been
Scott McLaughlin, too, by the way.
Oh, Scott. He was in the house, right?
He was. He most definitely was.
Boots on the ground.
He was the first one to report, I think anyway, the first one I saw to report on the Boston Pops and their anthem.
I did see
which
that.
Which I really liked, by the way. I thought it was
very
good.
Yeah, it was much
good.
Better than that stupid Canadian one. That was terrible.
Which did get booed, by the way. You're
absolutely.
Right about that. That's another thing people are making. It's like, oh, no, they didn't get booed. So classy.
They did.
They booed the whole time.
Absolutely. The Americans booed. There were a lot of Canadians there. They didn't boo. And
right.
then everybody was uncomfortable because it was just a terrible performance. And it got awkward. Anyway, that's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. Appreciate you listening all week, calling. It was a very interesting week between Devers and Casas and Four Nations
fun,
and everything.
Fun week.
Yeah. We're rolling, baby. Next week, NFL Scouting Combine gets underway. We'll have Mike Giardi with some reports from Indianapolis. We'll talk to Mike Dassault from Patriots.com. He'll be at the Combine.
Big Celtics game Sunday night, yeah.
Big Celtics-Knicks game over the weekend. There is a lot going on.